And we are live in Flowery Branch. Steak Shapiro, Drew Butler. Another day at the steakhouse, and another opportunity to sit in with my buddy Drew. Had Bo and Mike Johnson over the last couple of days. And listen, we get a little bit screwed because we're in the middle of practice. So
yes,
we don't get anybody.
Practice?
Yeah.
I see Jake Matthews walking through the weight room right now. The guys are warming up. They're on the field. Some of them get the biceps looking right before the cameras come out, much like Mike Johnson used to do when he played for the Atlanta Falcons. So, yeah, they are about to take the field, Steak.
Listen,
yeah,
my quads never looked like that, by the way.
Who are you looking at right now?
Jake Matthews, man. Yeah. That guy is just Quadzilla in there.
So in an effort to be candid here, we're not going to get any guests. So I don't want to say settle, but we just want another guy in the microphone, especially one that's been at practice every day. So I told Mike Johnson to hang around.
Yeah, man.
Former NFL lineman, captain of the national championship team. I said, get that guy. Maybe that guy will join us and talk a little football with us.
Well, you're always so welcoming, Steak. Yeah. Bo's over here trying to charge me more for my shirt thread count. and, you know, you're welcoming into the show. So I'm happy to be here, man.
Hey, how was practice indoor? By the way, let me just say this. Sorry, we'll get to it. You may want to call the boss and come up with an excuse. Because you want to get the clubs out of the trunk. This is a spectacular day.
It's a big one.
And it's almost like you earn it, you know. Like, I don't know if you had the mentality, like, you work hard all day, you get to treat yourself at night, maybe a nice cold martini or nice meal, but you got to work. Well, if you worked the last 5 or 6 days, meaning, like, you had to deal with the weather, it's the payoff this morning. 70 degrees, sun is out. It is a perfect fall day in the middle of summer. So I suggest, you know, you rearrange your schedule. Yesterday, you guys were in the middle of a typhoon, it looked like, in the morning. They move everybody inside. So it has not been great weather here at camp. Today makes up for it. How much more access in terms of seeing the team do you get when you're in the indoor practice facility?
Insane. Insane. Anybody who has ever been here can look out and see the three football fields. And it's almost like at times I think Raheem moves their drills away from us, and the media and the people up on the hill will move us way out. Yesterday, you can't go anywhere, man. We're all stuck in the same fishbowl in the indoor yesterday. And David Bassey was busy literally moving us left and right so that the wide receivers could finish their bench routes towards us and not knock anybody out. So a massive amount of access, and closer than we've been all training camp yesterday in the indoor. I thought it was awesome.
You got to see first round draft pick Georgia Bulldog Jalen Walker out there in full pads, doing some pass rush, getting involved.
Buddy.
How did he look?
Well, and you know what's funny is as everybody's walking towards the indoor, the first thing I noticed is like, oh, Jalen Walker's in pads today.
Yeah.
He's in full pads. And we just haven't seen much of him in the 11-on-11, so I went out there, was curious to see if we'd see him 11-on-11 stuff. Not much, but then right in the middle of practice, right in the middle, very 50-yard line of the indoor, they go one-on-one pass rush. He looked as good as advertised, if not better.
Would he have jumped out if you didn't know anything about draft picks,
yes,
anything about SEC schools,
yes,
first rounders? You would have said, who's that guy?
Yes, and here's the thing, and let me add the caveat. We've talked about this on the morning shift a number of times. We're thanking the good Lord for James Pierce and the storylines that he's brought, because if not, we'd be talking about Jalen Walker being out with an injury, right? But James Pierce being another first-round pick and an edge rusher, you're like, oh, and we can live with that. So you focus on James Pierce. James Pierce is over there in one-on-ones rushing the edge, ripping the edge, doing the T.J. Watt thing on everybody. Jalen Walker was more of a three-dimensional pass rusher yesterday than James Pierce. It was like, I'm going to go inside, I'm going to juke you, I'm going to rip the edge, I'm going to bull rush you. Nobody knew what he was going to do.
Speed, when physicality, finesse,
when you have your toolbox
it.
That's that big as an offensive lineman, you don't know what he's going with. It's terrifying. You can't set deep for a speed rush. You can't anchor down for a power rush.
Talk about this, because obviously you've been in this building. You were a part of all the rookie meetings. You know, your NFL career started here as a Falcon. Yes, of course, you love what Jalen Walker brings. You love what James Pierce Jr. brings. But the opportunity for them to come in together, both as first-round draft picks, to feed off one another from growing into an NFL player inside this building, how important do you think that's going to be?
I think it's huge, and obviously a lot of people are going to overuse the competitive. Hey, you know, they can compete with one another.
Yeah.
But it's really just having somebody that's going through the same things that
I
you
agree.
Are. I mean, it's I just
agree.
Having somebody that you can be like, hey, man, you know, what do you think about this? This coverage, this rush, this blitz, whatever it may be, and you feel like you can open the lines of communication to another rookie. It's not, you don't always feel that way to a vet. You try to lean on the vets, and you try. But look, man, those vets. Families going home, doing all kinds of different things.
Right.
To have another rookie that you're I'm assuming they're rooming together and everything else. To have that person you can just straight up text, send a video clip to, or just talk to in your own living room during training camp. It's massive.
What
to
about
me that
the
they
rest
have each other.
Of the rooks out there?
Yeah, you're hearing a lot about Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman.
Xavier Watts. I didn't notice as much yesterday. I've noticed him a ton throughout camp. And I'll tell you who got the most extensive work that I've seen so far, maybe for any rookie, Jack Nelson, the seventh-round draft pick at tackle, played a ton yesterday in front of Michael Penix. Now, you had a situation where I think Jake Matthews is getting a couple vet, you know, vet plays. You're on the turf, so I think you probably pull Caleb McGarry off because it's a turf situation. Storm Norton's been kind of in and out, so it falls back on Jack Nelson. And honestly, I thought he held his own. You look out there and you see a rookie right tackle in front of Michael Penix, and you're like, ah, I don't know about this. But I thought he did pretty well, man. And he's a guy that we just haven't talked about. But you only had five draft picks. He was the fifth one. Yesterday was his day.
And
yesterday
look, was his day. You're going to get developed at Wisconsin.
Yes.
You know, I mean, no disrespect,
especially
but you're not coming
position.
From, you know.
Especially that position.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
He was advertised as being, you know, having good length, 6'7" or whatever it may be. You step on an NFL field, you don't jump out at 6'7". You're just like, it's another dude. And so I thought he did a good job anchoring, using his length yesterday, getting separation on guys like Khalid Kareem and Leonard Floyd and other guys like that.
How about the quarterback position? What did it look like from Penix? How much Kirk Cousins did you see? How'd the group of receivers look?
We really got to see a lot of red zone and tight red yesterday, which I think is one of the things when you look at Zach Robinson's offense compared to last year, you really need to see had a chance to roll out. And that just sounds like a throwaway comment. Oh, he got a chance to roll out and try to connect with the wide. How many times did you see Kirk Cousins roll out last year? It's about this many.
Yeah.
It's about zero.
Yeah.
So to see Kirk Cousins, you know, obviously have some success, but also to see Michael Penix roll out in the red zone, have the threat of the legs, and throw some of those seeds with that howitzer of an arm on his left shoulder, I thought was really, really encouraging. That's what you need in today's NFL in the red zone.
Okay, so let me ask you about the kickers, because I think this is a storyline that's only going to pick up as preseason games begin. Youngway Koo, $5.5 million cap hit coming up this year. Had some
big
struggles
one.
Last year. You know, it's reported that he was injured, but then you got Lenny Craig in the German, and it seems he's really going to push Youngway.
Yeah, and I think he needs to. I think we've got to see that performance from Youngway come up. And he's a guy, and I'm always curious to get your perspective on this because you've done it. He seems like his mechanics as a kicker seem hard to replicate, and I'm talking about Youngway.
It's very well
so
said, Mike Johnson.
I wonder if his mechanics, once they get away from him,
yeah.
if it's hard for him to get harder for him to get back to. It's almost like a Jim Furyk golf swing. You know what I mean? It's like how much
so
can
unorthodox,
you go back
to? Right?
Yeah, Rob, I'm giving a hand clap to Mike Johnson.
Yeah. Thank you
very
much.
Bravo, talking
Thank
about kicking
much.
Technique, relating it to an unorthodox golf swing. No, you're exactly right. When you see Youngway take its steps back, a lot of fidgeting, a lot of movement, very, very hard to replicate. And when things go sideways, you don't have something that you can lean back on. That obviously happened a year ago. So I'm most interested in, for all the fans, watch and pay attention to who is starting kicking in the preseason games, what the rotation is. Are they going to go by halves? Are they going to go by quarters? Are they going to rotate every single kick? I think that will really give you a heads up to see if this is a real competition.
I have a question. Your steak's going to kill me because this is the steakhouse, but we're going
to
be at the,
no,
just for
fine.
One
I'm
second. We're going
to
be at the mic house.
I'm
okay?
happy to listen.
Is there anything to be taken away for anybody that's watching these guys kick to the rotation of the football?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
Absolutely.
If it's just a typical end over end and it's beautiful, that means they've really squared it up. Even if it goes through the uprights, though, and you're getting a little bit of helicoptering, then we should – that's cause for concern for a kicker.
Yeah, I mean, the more pure the rotation is, obviously, the better the ball striking is, the more consistent you're hitting the football. If you are hitting those quote-unquote helicopter balls or the X rotation rather than right over the top from nose to toe, that should tell you that there's a little bit something going on with how they're striking the football. You watch some of the best across the league, man, it's pure as the driven snow when they kick the
football.
I was
curious because even on the days they've gone 5 of 5, it's like, yeah.
Even you're noticing it.
Yeah, even I'm looking at it going, I don't know that was as pure as you're going to make it out to be when you say he went 5 of 5.
All right, we got about 60 seconds. Let's do a quick 9 at 9. Also, we're going to put on a guest at 9. We got a 5-minute guest, Darren Revelle, coming up. What's the deal with the NFL Network, with the Red Zone Channel, the consumer, the ESPN Direct to Consumer? If you haven't heard, the NFL and ESPN are now official partners in terms of the NFL owning a huge chunk of ESPN. I'll explain what that is. Let's do a quick 9 at 9. What do you want to say about our baseball team last night? Just continue to struggle.
What is there to say? It's the same thing every day we come in here. There's a bad defensive play. You're not getting clutch hits. The pitching is just holding on by a thread. I mean, it's...
I've never, in covering the Braves for 30 years, seen them have to put out what they're putting out every night. Last night, Milwaukee, which, by the way, the number one record in all of baseball.
69-44 are the Brewers. They beat the Braves last night 7-2 at Truist Park. The Braves are 47-65.
My eyes are bleeding.
It's not a fun product right now.
It's a combination of guys not doing their job this year, but really the injuries now has absolutely decimated them. It is, as I said, going to be as painful playing out the string as anything you can imagine. We'll talk more when we come back about the ESPN acquiring the NFL Network and what that means to all we care about is the guy in your car. How does that affect you? We'll tell you more about that. Otherwise, NFL camp story, Shedeur Sanders is going to start for the Browns.
Yeah, this is his opportunity, Steak. If you want to do it, man, it starts now. This
That's
is
right.
your chance.
And obviously not going to have to see, what is it, Jordan Addison.
Yeah, he's going to be out for the week two game against the Falcons. Add that on to the fact that the Bucs all-pro left tackle Tristan Wirfs is out in week one.
Yep.
Got a pretty good draw the
first
couple
weeks.
Yeah, I
heard you say that. Yeah, yeah. Good news for the Falcons in terms of some key players. And last year, Addison absolutely lit him up. All right, Mikey, thanks for perspective because I know you were right up close yesterday. And you'll be out of practice today.
Always a pleasure. Headed out now.
Hey, when we come back, we'll be joined by Darren Revelle. Chat with him about what does this mean as a football fan now that ESPN has given up 10% equity in their company to the National Football League. I think you'll find it fascinating. We'll do that live from Falcons and Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Live from Flowery Branch, Steak Shapiro and former All-Pro and NFL punter Drew Butler has a hell of a golf tournament. He's going to tell somebody he just played in over the weekend. I was a little starstruck, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Joining us now, he is the sports media guru, among other things, and always an entertaining guest that squeezes us in for a few minutes here. Darren Revelle joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks for being on, Darren. How you doing, buddy?
Way to set me up, giving me a boring topic and say I'm always entertaining. Good morning.
Not afraid to mix it up with the powers that be. All right, we only got you for a few minutes. Explain to the guy driving in from Alpharetta, the 43-year-old dude, why he should care, if at all, that the NFL and ESPN are literally in bed together now and that NFL owns a part of ESPN. How does that affect his red zone, his daily viewing? Yeah. What happens to the NFL Network and why did it happen?
Yeah, I mean, basically now the NFL Network is essentially on ESPN because they're going to be licensing everything. And, you know, they've paid for the Red Zone. The fantasy product that was the NFL is now going to be merged into ESPN's fantasy product. You know, so I guess, listen, the Red Zone's not going away. You're going to find things on ESPN here. I think the most interesting part is like the getting in bed part, which is what you just said. You know, I was at ESPN for 12 years, and I was obviously the sports business reporter, which, you know, could have been an awkward situation. In 12 years, I was never told, do not do this story.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
Ever. And I probably did about 50 uncomfortable stories and maybe 10 very uncomfortable stories over 12 years, and no one ever said anything. I don't think I could work at ESPN today and get that same treatment. And so you do kind of wonder, you know, what is going to, you know, what will happen in the case of a controversial story which rears its head three times a year.
Well, I would assume it was similar with the NFL Network in terms of what they could talk about or cover, given the fact the NFL owned them and you worked for the league.
Yeah, but there's a different there should be a different standard of journalists. People expect more from ESPN. I don't know if they do today, actually, but certainly did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we all know the struggles, and you know, ESPN, the business model, it will never be as lucrative as it was. Explain, though, why the NFL wants to own 10% of that company. I mean, it's a massive...
I don't know why.
Yeah, you do. I mean, their feeling is we're going to give you all this content. We're going to license the rights to you. We're going to increase
your value. It's a $3 billion deal. They love money. It's a $3 billion deal, you know, essentially, because it's the 10% equity stake of ESPN, values ESPN at something like $30 billion, you know. So it's basically taking cash off the table for what they've built. That's what it is.
Darren, do you think there was any urgency to get this deal done prior to ESPN having their first Super Bowl next year?
I think it probably did a little bit of,
it's good fit.
Kind of pushed a little bit, but I think a lot of it is just, again, probably the desire. This is Jerry Jones. This was the big owners saying, you know, let's take money off the table. We have to feed this bear all the time.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can take money off the table. I think that's
You would certainly expect the NFL owners to vote to approve this deal. However, it will have to go through government regulatory approval. Are you expecting any holdups throughout that process?
Yeah, you know, this is the interesting one. If you would have asked me that before Trump was in office, I'd be like, yeah, what are you talking about? Come on. You know, this isn't an FTC situation. This isn't, I can't imagine there's any, you know, monopolistic things here. But, you know, with Trump, it's always going to be a wild card.
Yeah, depending how he feels about his fellow.
I wouldn't expect it, but I can't guarantee or promise anything with him.
All right, I know you got to go real quick. The ESPN direct-to-consumer product, again, what does it mean to our listener? Does this just mean you'll have a bouillabaisse of NFL and college and specialty programming from the leagues? Like, you know, obviously they're done with baseball. They're all about the NFL and the NBA. So what is the direct-to-consumer product? What will it cost, and when does it come out?
Yeah, so this is going to be what would be a little bit different. If you're going to want more things, obviously, you know, like they're going to have – the Disney Plus product, the DTC, if you want something additional, you're going to get that. So they're going to start playing around now with certain games. This fall, it's like $30 a month. And you know, if you want to get that, that's their way of saying, well, if you're going to cable cut, you're still going to be able to get ESPN if you wind up cutting something else. And then they're obviously going to just play with other things and a la carte things, but $30 a month if you want to basically have ESPN and the whole services, and that'll be in a couple months. That's their way of saying, if you cord cut, you know, you can still get everything if you don't want to, you know, pay whatever. I mean, and ultimately, I think it still comes down to, like, when you add all these things up, the cord cutting sometimes doesn't work as much as you'd think. But, you know, the young people like YouTube and everything else. And, you know, so starting, you know, what is it? I think it's a couple of weeks. It's $30 a month and you'll get what you can get. And if you like ESPN, if you're just watching sports and gambling, you know, that'll do for you.
All right, Darren. Good stuff, buddy. Let's talk to you.
Thanks, Darren.
Down the line. And,
okay.
Always a pleasure. Go out and do
what
you
do. You got it. Take care, guys.
Stir it up. That's Darren Revelle, of course, here's at ESPN, explaining this product here. I'll tell you this. You know, if you're paying your $30 for ESPN and you pay for your Netflix and you pay for your HBO
YouTube
Max,
TV, I mean, it's crazy.
The cost is not going to be any different.
No.
Especially now with the cable company saying you can now – deal with us a la carte as
right,
well,
right.
And we have a better user-friendly product than, you know, all the folks that are intimidated and wondering, you know, how am I going to figure out all these different streaming and whatever. The point is, if you start to add up and, you know, some of these networks or some of these companies like Amazon Prime saying, do we really want to be in the content creation business? How much does Apple want to be in that
yeah.
business? If they all stay in it and ESPN has the product you have to have, it's going to cost you the same.
Absolutely. Everybody needs content, which is where really the NFL Network has the leverage in dealing with those negotiations with the NFL.
What do you think of, you know, as somebody who is a sports aficionado, do this for a living. I know you watch the Golf Network around the clock because it's a passion point
and
for
you.
And
in the fall, it's the NFL Network.
It 24/7. Is the NFL Network.
Absolutely.
So,
love Good Morning Football. Love Inside
so
Training Camp, which they're doing right now.
So you think they've done a great
right
job with
yes,
that
network? It's all ball, which is the best thing. You're not going to get any riffraff. The reasons why people don't like ESPN now, good, bad, or indifferent, you're not getting any of that on the NFL Network. They are talking.
Give me an example of what you're talking about when you're saying any of that.
Okay.
You're talking about
political dealings,
very
racial
small
dealings.
Part.
I mean, but those are certainly talking points ESPN midday. First Take, the blabbering debate. That doesn't happen on the NFL Network. It's fun. It's informative. It's all football. It's entertaining.
Listen,
that's what they do, and it's all around one product, which is their league, which I really appreciate.
I think that the backlash against ESPN, because I don't think it's political in the sense that maybe it's one half of 1%. Does it vary?
What do they always say? Sometimes the vocal minority is often the
loudest. Well, here's what I would say is the hosts now, have political views, and if you follow them on social and other places, you, now you know them,
yeah.
right? So now you're fired up because they're off other areas.
Well, look no
espousing.
Further than what was the breaking news last night? Howard Stern, SiriusXM, canceling the Stern Show. Stephen Colbert, canceling Late Night. Right? What I'm saying is
what
Colbert and Stern, both their shows are done. They're getting canceled. Why? Because a lot of their longtime listeners were turned off by the fact that they weren't sticking to what made them entertaining.
I would argue about all that other stuff. Yeah, listen, I mean, obviously.
And you're saying a lot of people on ESPN who have leaned that way are no longer there anymore.
Well, I think that more on ESPN, it is the format of the incessant argument for the sake of argument.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I think if you respect this show, or even, you know, I think Carl and Mike, who had a famous dust-up that was on video when we were filming those guys, the reason that resonated, because it doesn't happen often, because they're not trying to stage it.
Of course.
You're taking this side, I'm taking that side. Same with our show. Occasionally, Sandra and I will be on different side of things. Maybe you'll hear some of that. They walk in every morning at ESPN to say, how are we going to get our voices elevated, argue different sides, and just basically be, you know, which is why I think McAfee is a more effective show, because they're not playing that game.
Yeah.
It gets old of watching the same rhetoric, right?
Absolutely.
You're here to argue. You're here to scream at me. It started with, you know, First Take with Kellerman. Then it was Bayless. Then it was
Stephen A.
Whoever else he brought in. Yeah, whoever he brought in with him. But listen, the whole landscape of media is changing. I don't want to bore you with it. That's our business. You could be an accountant. You could be a doctor listening, saying, I don't care that much about it. How do you care as a fan? I don't think it's going to change your fan experience.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I mean, other than now, you're going to have to decide, are you paying the $30 for the ESPN direct-to-consumer? And if you're already, if you already have YouTube TV or Xfinity or cable, do you need the ESPN app and that? Like, I don't know, but, there's just a lot of different frustrations.
Yeah.
Of, I want to watch the NFL, and I want to watch college football, and maybe I want to watch Major League Baseball playoffs. They're all over the place in terms of, it used to be, if I have cable, I can watch all those things. Not the case anymore.
Okay, so I'll tell everybody listening, we're certainly in the weeds, as Steak is saying, and it's football and it's sports 24/7. Pay attention to this, because this is a storyline that is happening right now. I will be very interested to see how ESPN and the NFL Network and whatever they're going to look like moving forward cover the dysfunction currently within the NFL Players Association and how the NFL is going to use that in order to absolutely continue beating that union over the head and providing the most amount for the owners, right? That is a topic that should be covered, that will be covered. I'll be interested on the spin that the entity which is owned by the league and the owners, who do everything to beat the NFL Players Association, which is the union, I want to see how that plays out.
Do you know who owns the Boston Globe, one of the top three or four papers left that is still a behemoth, right? Do you know who owns the Boston Globe?
I don't believe
John
so.
John Henry, who owns the Boston Red Sox.
And Fenway Sports Group, correct.
Yeah. So John Henry is the owner of the baseball team, who also owns the most powerful force that covers their team.
Yes.
And if you don't think that there's a conspiracy notion all over Boston about why is it that you never rip the Red Sox, well, our boss owns it, right?
Yeah,
is that a good way to be like, you know, now Dan Shaughnessy is powerful enough as our columnist in that town that he really doesn't care.
Correct.
If he doesn't have blank you money, he has a blank you mindset. But that's just one example
right.
of they're all trying to buy into these entities. Either they want to create their own media company, so you don't go to other papers or anything else. You get your Falcons information from AtlantaFalcons.com.
Absolutely.
Or
and you see the facilities that they've built in here to become that media
right.
company.
Or you just want to own the media companies because they're struggling.
Yeah.
I'm an NFL team. I have the money to buy a paper.
You need the money.
Yeah.
Guess what's about to happen?
Right.
And we're going to own the narrative.
And now I can control the message. So they're all tied together in some way.
Fascinating.
Hopefully you found that interesting as a guy that's getting ready for football season and trying to figure out, I just want to watch my team. And what does this mean to ESPN Plus? Because there's 15 other games on ESPN Plus that you may or may not be streaming because, you know, you're a fan of, I don't know, you know, insert Miami of Ohio. Those games are on ESPN Plus.
Yes, they are.
I always wonder how many broadcasters are hired for this stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's wild.
And they're not calling me.
No. Well, I don't think you're calling that game. Hey, when we come back, more from Falcons practice. You need to hear Bijan Robinson say who the alpha male is on the offense. There's no way, if you didn't hear it earlier today, you're going to know who he's talking about. Also, we'll do a tailgate. The rankings were out yesterday. Drew Butler goes through all top 10 teams and gives you a little notion of who's a pretender and who's a contender. It's all live at Flowery Branch Sports Radio 92.9. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler, we are in a beautiful setting, Flowery Branch, not far from the practice field, looking through the weight room here, brand new here, as the Falcons welcoming guests today as practice is open, although a very sparse crowd, because they have this thing called school being back this week.
And, it is definitely back.
Yeah, no question about it. And by the way, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, the best guys in town for whatever your needs might be. If you need some pressure washing done, Wise Guys Pro Wash. But the Falcons, we'll hear from Bijan Robinson coming up in a little bit. The Falcons were indoors yesterday. Didn't look anything like this today. It's a beautiful, I don't know, was it 70-something degrees right now?
Yeah, you would think the energy at practice today, and they are in full pads, will be turned up a little bit. So I'm sure that they're excited to hit the field on this beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah, they got the preseason game that we'll have coming up, which is Friday night.
Correct.
And no Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins in supposedly James Pierce going to
Did they announce that? No Kirk? Did they announce that yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, I missed that.
I don't know if it was yesterday. I think he's pretty much said neither one of those guys is going to play.
Gotcha.
The criticism about last year that you had a chance in preseason to play these guys and Kirk comfortable and get Michael Penix snaps. And, you know, I'll give Raheem credit. He whether you agree with it or not, he's not listening to that.
Sure.
He has a mentality, I don't risk in a 17-game season. We'll just figure it out in game one, but we're not going to risk playing guys in that kind of scenario.
I will say that with the Tennessee Titans coming to Flowery Branch next week for joint practices, I mean, that is essentially 2 days of games for those first-team guys, Michael Penix Jr. I mean, they are going to have that intensity. They're not going to know the looks that the defense is giving them. It will be ratcheted up big time. So that's the opportunity for Michael Penix Jr. to really get comfortable and get into the swing of things when the Titans come down
next
week.
What are logistics in terms of when you're hosting entire team and hundreds of people that are coming through here? Do you know much? Did you do that when you were
We did a week at the Greenbrier. I mean, I don't think they'll stay on property, but they'll get a hotel, maybe even
so
down.
They come here essentially dressed to go?
I would assume so, yes. Right? I would assume so. There might be a makeshift training facility that they'll be able to utilize as far as putting your pads on, everything ready to go.
The indoor practice facility probably house a lot of those guys and figure it out. And I believe the practice are going to be open to watch some. Listen, if you want to learn about your football team, that's the place to learn about
it. No question.
It's not going to be Friday night against Detroit. So, and listen, we can sit here and wax poetic for weeks. It's clear that the Falcons are going to have to get a performance or multiple performances from guys that you did not see coming. Like, there has to be something that gives on the defensive side of the ball. Now, maybe it's James Pierce is better than we think for a rookie pass rusher. I think you already know what you're getting from Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, obviously Michael Penix Jr. we're not sure of. But in order to be in the conversation as an NFC contender, this defense is where you're going to look at and go, who is going to take this game to the next level? Who is going to be the guy you're saying he's having a dominant Pro Bowl season? Jesse Bates is, you know, a candidate, obviously, every year for that. So is A.J. Terrell. It's going to have to be some other guys. I mean, you know, David and Yamada, I know, and Caden Ellis and guys like that, and certain Caden's a key factor. But on paper, it still is a defense that, you know, they're going to have to find ways to be impactful.
I cannot stress this enough. I absolutely love the fierceness and the intensity that James Pierce Jr. has been bringing to this defense, has been bringing to practices. I don't care if he's fighting a vet in Caleb McGarry. I don't care if Matthew Bergeron is mad that he's going too hard. Because here's what it comes down to, and I think any coach on this staff would agree with it, and I was with an all-time great over the weekend, and we actually had this conversation as well. In the NFL, there is tolerance versus production, right? The more you produce, the more coaches will tolerate with what you do on or off the field. If James Pierce Jr. is a sack master for the Falcons, he essentially will be able to do whatever the hell he wants during practice, on game days, throughout the week, because the coaches and the players on the roster will know when it's 1 p.m. or 4 p.m. or 8 p.m. on game day, this dude is going to get after the quarterback. I love it. That attitude needs to be brought here. There's something that's been missing from this defense. The obvious thing is the pass rush. Maybe the intangible is the attitude that the Atlanta Falcons need to adopt, and somebody needs to bring it organically. And that somebody, so far through 2.5 weeks of training camp, is your rookie pass rusher, James Pierce Jr.
How do you know that translates into actual big plays in fourth quarters and sacking quarterbacks? And
there's only one way to find out, right? I mean, you can't sit here and just guess. You got to go out there and do it. And the only way he's going to get better and understand if he can do it is iron sharpens iron. Let me go at McGarry. Let me go at Matthew Bergeron.
I think it's going to be absolutely.
Let me go at Jake Matthews. I want best on best.
Think about when you're at the Falcons-Tampa game in week one when Jalen Walker's on the field, how many eyeballs are going to be like watching him, especially as he's running sideline to sideline, or how often they decide to rush Jalen Walker, how often we're going to be looking at James Pierce Jr. I mean, literally, it's going to be one of those things. Everybody, you'll elbow the guy next to you and you go, he's on the field now.
Yep.
He's on their third and six. Look at Pierce. Hey, watch Pierce. He's in their third and five.
And we're forgetting about Braylon Trice, who was a third-round pick a year ago. Obviously, he got injured, but he was known as a guy who could get after
what's going to have to happen. Yeah, I mean, that's my point. Like, on paper, nobody around the league looks at that Falcon defense and goes, wow, those guys are going to be really good.
Correct.
They say, really interesting.
Yeah.
Two number ones.
A lot of potential.
Yeah. Very. Boy, we see what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, I see what you're doing there. I see what it is, whether they pull it off or not. Bijan was great after practice. You know, we have a big shining star on this team. His name is Bijan Robinson. I thought it was interesting where he said, on the offensive side of the ball, who's the guy to get them going?
Yeah, it's Drake and Burge. Like, Burge. Yeah, like Burge is, he's bringing it. He's bringing that heat, and he's going to talk to the other team. And I told the guys, like, I was like, don't look at me. I was like, get excited when I make plays on the field. But I'm not going to talk. I'm so quiet. But with him, like, yeah, he's that guy in the huddle where it's just like, you know, when he's turned it on, like, we look at him, and then everything changes.
Talking about Matthew Bergeron and that he is the guy that they're all looking at.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Again, it goes back to the attitude, man. When you have offensive linemen who are the ones rallying the troops, setting the stage, when you have an all-pro and an all-star, a Pro Bowler like Bijan saying, like, don't look at me. Like, I don't need to do it.
Yeah, it's not going to be Michael Bergeron.
Yeah, it's not going to be Penix because he's too young. He hasn't been in that moment yet. Can he grow into being that leader? Absolutely. I love hearing that Matthew Bergeron is an emotional leader for that offense. That's a great sign. You want that nastiness on both sides of the ball, and let's look towards Bergeron to continue keeping that pace throughout training camp.
Yeah, let's talk about the nastiness factor, because another thing that he talked about was his wide receiver, Drake London.
Drake's a different breed. I just don't understand how he's, like, super nice, you know, outside of the field. And then on the field, like, yeah, he's like a monster. Like, he'll cuss you out. if you get in front of him, if they throw a flag, like, he's going to talk to the ref. He's going to speak. But that's what drives us. Like, his energy, what he brings, like, I feel that. And I'm not going to talk. But in my head, I'm like, yeah, I gotta be on that level with him.
That's so good. I would imagine that greats have the ability to compartmentalize, being a total sicko in between the lines, ultra competitive, mean, just doing whatever it takes, Steak, and bringing that attitude to say, we're here to do one job, to win, to fight, to put points on the board, right? Nothing else matters when we're in between the lines. And then, hey, in the locker room after, we can be a different person. We can all be teammates. We can laugh. We can try to bring some camaraderie to the table, but I love what I'm hearing. I absolutely love what I'm hearing because it starts with building a culture in training camp, and it seems like that's what the Falcons are doing right now.
Yeah, you know, when you hear Randy McMichael say Drake London could be the number one receiver in the National Football League or right up there, I mean, I trust what he says.
Randy McMichael was able to compartmentalize when he played? I mean, he was a dog.
Yeah.
A dog.
So
in between the lines.
Drake had 100 catches last year. Now, Jamar had 127. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 115, CD had 101, Malik Nabers had 109. But I think when you – listen, I don't know if we're going to throw it enough. You know, you're not going to throw it enough with Bijan and Tyler Algiers. He's going to lead the league in catches.
Yeah.
But he could be a top three wide receiver, certainly as good as the guys we just mentioned. Maybe not Jamar Chase, but that other group, Drake London, is in that group. So now a little bit of insight into how this team is evolving. When you hear Bergeron is the leader and you hear Drake London is the leader and Michael Penix Jr. and Bijan may be the most talented players, But those are the guys they're talking about now that everybody's going to be looking towards. So we'll do more Falcons coming up. Let's do a little college football, though. We haven't talked to Drew since the AP Top 10 came out, and we will do a tailgate.
Yeah, so the AFCA coaches poll for the 2025 college football season has been released. And what's funny to me is that a storyline which dominated the college football offseason, right? SEC's overrated. Big Ten's here. The SEC is going to be down this year. Well, the coaches are the ones who vote on the first preseason top 25 poll, and it's out. And, of course, it's dominated by the SEC and the Big Ten. Your number one team in the country for the 2025 college football season, Texas. The Texas Longhorns get 28 first-place votes. They're your number one overall team. Ohio State is the number two team. They got 20 first-place votes stake. That is a week one matchup, Texas versus Ohio State.
That is just wild.
Yeah.
You want to talk about branding, how the NFL sits back and sets their schedule, and they have Thursday nights in mind, Sunday nights in mind. How many times you want to put teams on national TV? Remember, college programs set their own schedule. There's no governing body to say you have to play. But to end up where LSU says we'll travel to Clemson, where Notre Dame says we'll play Miami, and, of course, Texas decided to travel to Columbus, all in week one is the way that college football, who, by the way, does not compete with the NFL
yep.
in week one.
That's right.
They
Stand
do
alone.
Not compete with the NFL. Boy, if I had to measure what the value of earned media is, and that's, of course, how much publicity you're not paying for, you're just getting, it's astronomical first week of college football.
Yeah, Texas at Ohio State, 1-2 on that Saturday.
That's just amazing.
Noon on Fox.
I know. The noon thing really hurts me.
Yeah,
too,
Georgia Bulldogs. They are your fourth-ranked team in the AFCA coaches poll this preseason. They did get three first-place votes, so the Dogs coming at four. Penn State, a team that is getting a lot of preseason love. Phil Steele said he thinks they're the best team in the country. They are the third-ranked team. They got 14 first-place votes. Finishing it up, Notre Dame at five, Clemson at six, Oregon seven, Alabama eight, LSU nine, and the Miami Hurricanes are your 10th-ranked team in the preseason poll.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the big boys. And then, of course, you talk about the ACC. I mean, they get their two teams in there in Miami and
Clemson. Clemson did get two
Notre Dame, I guess you call them ACC-esque, whatever you want to say.
ACC-adjacent.
Yes. But obviously not a lot of news coming out, as you're not going to get a lot out of Georgia and Georgia Tech right now. We all know what's exciting for Tech in, I guess it's week three with Clemson coming in. I think they said they're going to try to do a white out for that game
okay.
as well. Again, another noon start, I believe it is. So, you know, I guess get those Bloody Marys going early, 7:30 on the flats on North Avenue and company, because that's a game that's going to define where Tech is at. Even if they don't win it, we're going to see how they match up. Clemson said to have as many NFL prospects as anybody in college football.
Yeah, a lot of people like Clemson a lot. Kay Klubnik, their quarterback, is certainly getting some Heisman love. I have been seeing, as we'll probably continue to popularize over the next few weeks, some predictions of the 12 teams that make the playoff this year. And Stake, I've seen Georgia Tech pop up a few times in some of those predictions. You always use this question, so I'll ask you. If you have $500 right now, I'm sure the odds are relatively juicy. If you like Tech to get into the playoff, you think they have a chance? Would you be willing to risk some money that Georgia Tech this year has a chance to get into the college football playoff?
No, I would not risk that. They're not even listed as a preseason top 25.
Okay.
I think the question would be over-under. Is 8 a number you'd go over, right? Can they be a 9-3 football team? Listen, there's no track record of late to suggest that they're going to be dancing around in the college football playoff. But again, ACC's getting, you know, is Miami getting in? Is Clemson getting in? Is Florida State making a resurrection? Is, remember, SMU in
Arizona State last year, they were picked to finish dead last in the Big 12. They ended up winning the conference. Nobody's talking about Carson Beck's health.
What are you giving
Can
me?
The kid even throw? He know, tore right. his UCL in December of last year.
What are the odds I'm getting to be in the playoffs on $500 for Tech? What are you giving me back?
I mean, if I'm handicapping, it's got to be plus 850,
okay,
right?
So
it's up there.
So I'm going to get back about 800, eight times my money.
Yeah.
500 and win back 4,000?
Yeah.
Let me think about it in the break.
Okay.
Give me a little time.
Don't hurt yourself if you can think about it.
Hey, when we come back, I had a buddy in town last night. He had a ride home from our night out in Buckhead that you better get ready for. I need to hear your opinion. The time has come. Modern technology, how do you feel about it? Give me 6 minutes to tell this story. It's worth it. I wouldn't tell you otherwise. Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live in Flowery Branch. Drew Butler, Steak Shapiro, thanks so much for being with us. After a couple of rough days of weather, Monday and Tuesday, yesterday brought him inside the indoor practice facility. Not the case today. It's a beautiful day out here. Sparse crowd. Obviously, families getting back in town from Atlanta as what I will call a painful stretch of weeks trying to get football season. It feels like it's here, but it's really just a tease. We talked about that incredible Labor Day weekend. We're still a long way away from Texas and Ohio State at 12 noon, even farther from Thursday night. Who do the Eagles open with on Thursday night football? Do we need to look at that schedule? Normally I would know that in 2 seconds, but we're a long way away from the NFL opening up as well. So
is it not the Chiefs? Is it not a rematch in week one?
I will tell you in just 1 second. But regardless, what's this like for the players?
Long days, man. Long days.
It's the Cowboys at Philadelphia, Thursday night
there
football.
There you go. Cowboys at Philadelphia.
But these are long days, right?
Yeah, these are the dog days of training camp. Obviously, times have changed so much, even from when I was playing, which was relatively lighter than when, you know, the guys in the earlier 2000s were playing, where it was true to us. I mean, you'd practice in the morning, you'd have meetings, you'd go back out on the field and practice again. Those days are long gone.
Oh, yeah,
training camp was way longer.
These guys
are up here for two and a half weeks now. You break, you're back into the facility. This is different because the Falcons are at their facility. But
still a ton of film work and a ton of time,
long days, walkthroughs. You're installing everything. Obviously, the guys at the bottom of the roster are looking over their shoulders every single day when the guys from upstairs are coming down because, you know, it is just a constant rotation of guys at the bottom of the roster as these front offices are trying to get their 53 set moving into the season.
So no Hard Knocks?
Hard Knocks started last night. I did not stay awake for it, but it's the Buffalo Bills this season.
Oh, that's right. So my point was no Hard Knocks highlights or anything we have seen. And in season, they're doing the – is it the NFC East? I got
to
check.
I'll have to check that right now, but I did not know.
I mean,
know
obviously, the most compelling part, and it's uncomfortable, is trying to figure out – well, it's not uncomfortable to figure out who's going to make a team. Storylines of people – on the back end of a roster desperately trying to live out their dream.
Absolutely.
But then the cut, you know, they've tried to nuance the respect of how you cut guys and what's on film and what's not on film and that type of thing as well. But there's a lot of those stories out there right now of guys desperately trying to make a team, make a practice squad, continue their football career.
Yeah.
You know, there's not single A, double A, triple A in the National Football League. Not a lot of options, not a lot of places to go. So,
100% correct.
Yeah. All right. Let me go to my Twitter account if you can, because I just posted this. So I have a buddy in town. He's staying at the beautiful Belly Yard Hotel in Midtown. Known him for years. You know, working a business together, and was my roommate in college. And he gets picked up last night. He got dropped off at Chops.
I'm watching. I don't have the audio right now, but I'm watching.
Well, you don't have to watch him singing, but I am curious about the song selection. So he was picked up by Waymo both ways.
Interesting.
Calls an Uber. Car pulls up. Comes up on his Uber. There's no driver. Gets in the car. Drives in the Buckhead. 12-minute ride. Last night coming home, perhaps he had a couple of cold beers. I asked him, what was the experience like of Waymo? And how many – have you done Waymo yet?
I have not done it
yet.
Dude,
it's crazy that a car pulls up with no driver. You get in that car. 15 minutes later, you're dropped off. People are freaking out about it. I ask you if you've done it before. Tell us, what was your experience? 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Do you enjoy not having to have the rhetoric, not having it have a driver?
How do you control the audio? Just log
so
into
they
the
give
app
you
on your
new,
phone?
So there's a screen that pops up in the back seat.
Okay.
And they give you options about air conditioning.
Sweet.
They give you options about, temperatures, obviously. Then they ask you what type of music you may like to hear.
Yeah.
Entertainment, the whole deal. He had some fun with it. He put on, that's him singing Let It Go. The Frozen song. Point being, would you feel good about your kids being in a Waymo? Do you like the fact that, you know, have you eliminated having to worry about a creepy driver? Does the idea of this technology scare the hell out of you in terms of, you know, I assume, I just didn't think it would happen this fast. He had both rides both ways, did not request a Waymo, both ways, did not have a driver. It's like something that you think, you know, when we were growing up saying someday there'll be driverless cars, I don't think we thought it would be 2025.
So it was first and primary testing facility for both the cars, production, and the technology is in Tempe. So they were all over the place 10 years ago in Metro Phoenix, Arizona. Waymos have been everywhere for 10 years.
In Arizona.
Yes, and I've never taken one. So, I've never done that.
Bo, have you been in one? Is anybody listening? What do we think about it? My buddy's like, it's just so relaxing.
Yeah.
Maybe $2 more, but no tipping.
Yeah, that's
right?
Great.
You don't have the pressure of that going on. There's something, I don't know. There was something calming about the experience. I said, what was the drive? I don't know the roads well enough. Obviously, you're going the speed limit.
Right.
Now, it takes away, you know, I have a buddy that drives us on occasion named King Ron, who is, I've talked about him before. King Ron is a guy that SEC championship game, he tells you, meet me down this alley off of Marietta on the backside of a one-way street, and I'll get you out of there, you know, 75 minutes faster
correct.
Than anybody else because I'm going to take the back ways. That's not the answer with Waymo. But if any of you have taken it, are you intrigued by it? Are you down with it? Are people freaked out?
I think it's important to understand the technology that powers these things, the amount of cameras and sensors that are on the car, the fact that if they see an emergency vehicle with sirens and or flashing lights, it picks up on that, slows down, gets out of the way. I mean, the technology is absolutely incredible. I am very intrigued by this. I continue watching this video on a loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild, is it not, man? Bo, you got a thought on Waymo and driving Waymo, and does it freak you out at all?
I was trying to stay away from them for as long as I could. So you're saying that if you just order an Uber, you don't
get
a choice?
Dude, look at my go to my
Twitter. Show up.
Dude, it shows up. He did not request it.
Oh, now wow.
You could turn it down. Dude, look at it's about 10:30 at night, and he's in a car with no. It looks like it's a spaceship, and he's driving home through Buckhead into Midtown, no driver. He's in a Waymo. And if anybody else been out there, I don't know if we have any calls on it, but I don't know, man. It's just, you know, this is just the start of it. You know what they're saying? There's all kinds of 10 years from now, what our highways are going to look like, the amount of people that are driving or not driving. You know, already we've talked about Uber and what that has done in terms of drinking and driving. I've said it's the most underrated lifesaver in the history of the world that never gets enough credit for the fact that there was a conversation, forget about our parents, who never even thought about it until Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That wasn't even like a conversation.
Yeah.
Not to mention like the conversation in college about which guy is sober enough to drive. Right. Or designated driver. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Now, have you rode in a Tesla Cybertruck? Or a newer Tesla,
no.
The automatic driving
right.
that can power those things to where, honestly, you don't even have to be paying attention.
So if you're taking
but if your eyes look down, the car shuts off the automatic driving.
But
you have to be at least looking forward because the sensors see your eyes, hoping that you're making sure that you still stay paying attention to the road.
And that's to prevent somebody from getting on their laptop
right.
and doing 2.5 hours of work
yes.
and a drive to 30A to say that's not what we're built for.
Yes.
Right? Because otherwise, that's exactly what could happen. People would literally watch movies, do their work,
yeah.
Just engage with no respect for the road in front of them. But the technology is very similar.
So speaking of 38, we were down in Destin Memorial Day weekend. We had played golf. My friend was driving his Tesla Cybertruck. After golf, he says, watch this. Before we throw the car in reverse, he types in the address that we're going back to. Stake, he puts his hand up, and that thing starts backing up, reversing, going out of the parking lot. In 10 minutes, we were home. He never even touched the steering wheel.
Yeah, that video was just wild. And he got it both ways. He sent me a video on his way, and then he sends it coming back at night. You know, they, obviously, the level of research and technology is beyond, right? There's no reason for someone to say, it's not safe. In many cases, it's way safer.
Correct.
Than, listen, the whole AI, the whole Waymo, all this stuff. I was listening to a podcast. I think it's Sam Altman, who's the guy that created ChatGPT.
OpenAI.
And they said, any of this stuff scare you? And he says, yeah. There are a couple of times I've gone to ChatGPT, and I realized there's no human that will ever be smarter than that, no matter how highly intelligent
That's
you
why
are.
Mark Zuckerberg is paying compensation packages upwards of $100 million to get the OpenAI guys over to Meta. $100 million plus. That's professional sports franchise contract level
no
for
doubt.
Technology.
The technology.
And Mark Zuckerberg's
guys,
like, I need that.
Need
I'll pay
guys.
For it. Yeah,
yeah
come over
like
to us.
It's like going to sign Juan Soto.
Yeah. I need that.
The
I'll pay
deals
you.
That are being made to be ahead of AI and understand it, that stuff scares me more than anything.
When people need stuff, they oftentimes find a way to make it work.
Yeah, and I was just reading that same piece. Anyway, if you have a thought on it, Charles, we'll go to you coming back. Anybody else with Waymo or any of this technology that's freaking you out, 404-726-0929. A couple of things that we come back. Can we talk about the golf tournament
you were
at?
Yeah, absolutely. Raised a ton of money.
Drew Butler was hobnobbing at a level that, frankly, I don't think I've ever seen anything like. I've never been at. We'll talk about that. Also, a viral video from Steak and Drew Butler that exploded overnight.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
We'll get to that. And lots more on the way. Live at Falcons on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Drew Butler. Thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate you spending time. We're live at Falcons in Flowery Branch. We're going to hear Ryan Neusel, who was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, who allowed him to go say goodbye to Drew Dolman, I guess it was, right? You can't sign everybody. Can't bring everybody back. Big
yep.
number. Bears go and get him for Caleb Williams. We'll hear from him coming up in a little bit. Also, conversation about Waymo and how you feeling about that. AI conversation came up. ChatGPT, all this. Is Charles still there? Does he want to chat? And I got a couple of notes from our social media as well. Hey, Charles, you're on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. How you doing, buddy? Is he ready to go? What do we got? All right. Charles, you there? Right there. Hey, Charles, what's happening, man?
Hey, so I've never been in a Waymo, but I am a truck driver. One time I had to drop off a trailer over by Villa Rica. Fully autonomous driving trucks. Hello?
Yeah, we're listening. Go ahead. Tell us the story, buddy.
Yeah, so these things, man, is literally just like the Waymos. They have sensors all over, and they literally do everything. They turn, they merge, they slow down. They do everything by itself. There were two drivers in it, but they're just taking notes. And the guys say they literally just sit back and they don't do nothing.
So let me ask you this. I just got on social media. An Uber driver said these guys are eventually going to put us out of business or help take jobs away as an Uber driver. As a truck driver, do we feel like that technology is getting to that point as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, maybe not now, but for sure in the near future, I would say, you know, 5 to 10 years, this thing is going to be a huge percentage of the business because all these companies, all the top companies are investing. The Pepsis, the Amazons, the Cokes, all the companies are investing billions and billions of dollars in order to, you know, get that rolling in a larger scale.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about that when I put it out there. Thanks for the call. How is this not going to put the job of truck driver in duress?
Look, my brother-in-law is an executive for a trucking company, a big logistics trucking company, and they spend a lot of time meeting with these producers of these autonomous vehicles. It's a whole different ballgame when you're talking about tractor trailers, 18-wheelers, precious cargo, freight.
I get it.
How they're going to be able to do that, unloading, getting them on the road. But it's certainly coming down the pike. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Any way you can uncover efficiencies and find ways to streamline, you know, the world of logistics, you know that they're going to invest heavily.
Imagine the meetings they're taking where they're talking about over a 5-year span, the savings, the opportunity,
big time.
The lack of now the liability that
big
goes
time.
Away
all
with drivers
it.
And all of it. Really fascinating stuff to kind of think about. I would tell this to any young person. whatever classes you can be taking on AI, whatever you can learn to be out ahead of, however you can figure out what occupations will thrive and which ones are going away. And the latter is what scares me. How many positions become, you know, obsolete based on artificial intelligence, and just learn what are folks going to be hiring for in 10, 15 years?
When I was at a leadership conference at Stanford University out west, there was a professor who does a class on AI talking to us, and he said it's not so much about losing a job to artificial intelligence. He said you're going to lose a job to people who know how to utilize artificial intelligence. You got to educate yourself on how you can bring more to the table, and really it's just an understanding of what do I do? How do I prompt this? What questions do I ask? How do I position myself better to then be able to do more?
Yeah, because the guy sitting next to you is in his early 30s, and you're a 47-year-old or middle management, that person understands how to navigate AI to make them better at their job.
Yeah.
That you don't, because they're utilizing an intelligence that you simply haven't figured out. All of a sudden, they're going to vault ahead of you in terms of value. And
we've talked about it ad nauseum in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I've been throwing in stuff to ChatGPT on that. Where should we go? Give us an itinerary. I've got eight guys who have never been. They want to be cost conscious. I mean, it is a travel agent right there for free.
My wife, we were looking at my 60th birthday for next summer. I need a house near the beach on Cape Cod. It needs to sleep four, but it needs to have a big function room available.
Yep.
It needs a deck with a grill, but preferably needs three full baths. Then they come back with four houses. Then they say, well, how would they do in terms of supporting a live band if you want to have one in the backyard?
Exactly.
They narrowed it. She just kept narrowing it, narrowing it down. Finally, just produced two houses and say this meets all the criteria that you just asked for. It took her like 74 seconds to get to that point.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ryan Neusel yesterday. How important is the center position? Obviously, I mean, we all know what happens when you have the Todd McClure's of the world, right?
Right.
When you have the David Andrews.
Old minds.
Right? Ryan Neusel got in last year, afforded himself well. And talked to Dukes and Bell yesterday just about his opportunity now. First off, though, what about what's happening on both sides of the ball, the scuffles that have been breaking out?
Yeah, I mean, it's just camp scuffles. Happens everywhere. But obviously, when a few of those break out, then it's like, okay, this next play, like, we got to go. But on both sides of the ball, like, can't have, like, a little scuffle break out, and then everyone's, like, elevated, and then one side really beats up on the other next play. Everyone gets a little elevated, you said.
Also talked about Michael Penix Jr., the connection he needs to make with his young quarterback, what that means in terms of the success of the offense. He talked to Carl and Mike about that.
No, it's good. Penix is very vocal and very on top of things, so it definitely helps. And then just being able to relay stuff, like the snap's just a little bit off, just telling me to get it right and get it going.
How important is depth on the offensive line, especially when you realize that Ryan Neusel was the backup?
Yeah.
So at least you had this. There is going to be a serious injury for the Atlanta Falcons. How do I know that? Because it's called the National Football League. The question that we can't answer is, where is it going to happen? How's our depth behind that position? Is it at the quarterback position? That's why you keep Kirk Cousins. Is it at the receiver position? That's why you want multiple weapons. Is it, you know, Bijan missing a few? Why is Tyler Algiers? It's really, you know, all the analysis and sitting here goes out the window when you realize a lot of these organizations are going to be dealing with massive injuries, especially at the quarterback position. Another thing he was asked by these guys who did a great job is, how much did last year help?
No, it was good. I mean, starting the year as a backup, obviously you have to be ready for any events that happen, anything that goes down. So I got called on, and I was fortunate enough just to be able to fill the role for the time being, and I was very fortunate just to keep things rolling.
And fortunate for the Neusel family to be a starting center at some point in the NFL, get paid like it.
No question. I mean, even more so than depth, and this is pretty obvious to state, but the experience that this Atlanta Falcons offensive line has together is huge. Yes, you start looking at the depth. Storm Norton's a backup. That's great. He's got experience. You start looking at the depth. You know, you got Lindstrom. Obviously, he's a starter. He's one of the best in the league. I mean, those are the guys.
Lindstrom, Bergeron,
McGarry,
Matthews, McGarry, who now signs.
It's a top five unit in the NFL.
No doubt.
It's a top five unit in the NFL. Now, if you stay healthy, that's a whole other ball game. But Penix going into this season, having
great
those guys
point.
In front of
yeah,
him,
a
guy like Ryan Neusel, who by those cuts right there, a great communicator, helping out with the pre-snap reads, identifying the mic, getting everybody in position, going out
McGarry.
There and playing.
He's good enough that he just re-signed him. You drafted Bergeron, a starter
stud.
Day one.
Stud.
Chris Lindstrom, the best at his position. Jake Matthews, another regime, obviously down the line that drafted as well. And now to be able to have Ryan Neusel in the mix as well. You can't overstate the
And then
value.
You got Mike Johnson telling us about the rookie from Wisconsin taking tons
yes.
of rep yesterday.
Yeah. If you didn't hear earlier in the show, was it Jack, I don't know, seventh rounder out of Wisconsin? That's what you're here for. You give me the guy's name. Jack Smith or something? I don't know. Let's do our belly up. We're going to give you an opportunity to talk.
Jack Nelson.
Jack
Thank
Nelson.
You.
I knew it was some, Thank you know, you. Some All-American name. Jack Nelson out of Wisconsin, 6'8", seventh rounder. Looks good yesterday at practice. You got 2 minutes to tell me where you spent your weekend, because this just sounds like I had FOMO at the highest level.
Yeah, I was up in Boston, Massachusetts, Hingham, Massachusetts, with my dad. We were honored to be invited to the Sean McDonough Celebrity Golf Tournament. They raised over or just about $850,000 stake in 24 hours for research and care for patients with cardiac amyloidosis up at Brigham Women's Hospital in Massachusetts. But when I say it was star-studded, it was about as star-studded as possible.
Your dad spent 3 hours drinking beers with who?
Bill Murray and Charles Barkley.
Wow.
Joe Buck was there. I spent a lot of time with Joe Buck. He's the best. Mike Breen, bang, he was there. Of course, Sean McDonough. Laura Josh Rutledge, so she's from ESPN as well. Gary
Taylor.
Streisky, he was up there. Taylor Twellman, who's a stud golfer. Matt Ryan, greatest player in Falcons franchise history.
How does Matt Ryan golf's game look?
He's a stud. Him and I had a nice little sporty match on Sunday.
You went head-to-head with Matt Ryan?
I went head-to-head
with
two.
One of the best golfers anybody's ever seen.
He's very, very good golfer.
And
I went head-to-head.
I
had to birdie the 16th, the 17th, and
wow.
the 18th hole just to get out of there with my shirt on.
Wow. Dude, that's some that's
It was
some hitters.
An absolute
hey,
blast.
How much weight has Charles Barkley lost?
He looks fantastic. He looks absolutely
you
fantastic.
You want to know what Ozempic looks like, dude? That dude looks like a different – have you seen the photos he has? You got to see
You know who else was there? Eric Crouch, Heisman Trophy winner from Nebraska, yeah. phenomenal guy. How many times do you think he rushed the ball in college?
140.
648 carries in college as a quarterback.
Hey, how good a guy was Bill Murray to drink beers with?
The best. Bill's awesome. I heard they're starting a FaceTime stretching routine together to make sure that they continue to be in good shape.
Kevin Butler and Bill Murray?
They said they're going to do morning FaceTime stretching routines together. That was the word on the street.
That's very cool.
So thank you, Sean McDonough, for inviting us, and they raised a ton of money. It was a great event.
That's some cool folks you're playing.
And Billy Andre? Love Billy.
Oh, the best.
He was there. He almost made a hole-in-one.
And Jim, serious?
Almost made a hole-in-one to win private jet time. Yeah.
Hey, when we come back, let's do our three strikes, get you caught up on Falcons camp. Practice going on. I'm going to head out there in a little bit as well. It's Drew Butler and Steak Shapiro on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We got some time left. We got a lot of time left here. If you want to participate in three strikes, I gave you that question out a little bit. Trying to figure out what we're not letting you know about in the sports world or beyond of any significance. We talked about ESPN. They're now have acquired the NFL Network and Red Zone, which really doesn't affect you, whether it's on YouTube, DirecTV, or wherever Red Zone is, you'll be able to find it. The NFL does now own 10% of ESPN, valued at like $30 billion, so $3 billion deal to get 10%. They're going to try to increase the value of ESPN, and that deal happens between two behemoths in the sports world. The ESPN app is going to become the ESPN. Is it the app? What do you call it?
Direct-to-consumer.
Consumer
yeah.
product. Direct-to-consumer product.
Called like ESPN Streamer or something like that.
It's really
whatever
hard
it's going
to
be.
Keep up. Fox is going to have their own. How do you watch your sports? How many different places? Then all the different gambling sites where they'll try to send you to, you know, if you want to gamble on games, here's our site, but then here's how to pay to get, you know, where it's going to be streaming. I know huge frustration from NFL fans, even baseball fans. You hear people freak out when the Braves are doing the 11 a.m. Apple game, which is once a year. You know, they're like, they can't find it, right? Well, multiply that by 100 in terms of the NFL and college games that all of a sudden may end up somewhere where you don't have the paywall. You're not past the paywall. So I guess that's worth mentioning.
Speaking of ESPN NFL, obviously we just talked about Boston, and I was up there. I spent some time with Joe Buck, and he's just the nicest guy ever. And I'm like, dude, you're going to have Falcons game, week six, Bills, Falcons. He goes, doubleheader weekend. We've got the Bears against the Commanders. So we'll have the two team on Monday Night Football, Buffalo at Atlanta. It's a 7:15 kick on ESPN.
So that'll be...
Usually it's Lewis Riddick, probably Steve Levy, maybe Orlovsky.
Yeah, it used to be Herb Street, but now he does the NFL games on Thursday nights. Is Al Michaels still... Is it still Al Michaels?
Al Michaels and Herb Street on Prime, yep.
On Sunday, it's
Tirico and Collinsworth. And Monday, it's Buck and Aikman.
It's hard to keep up. It's all there. A couple of other things. Are you watching this Hunting Wives thing? You've heard about this?
No.
Oh, yeah, dude. Everybody's talking about the Hunting Wives on Netflix.
The Hunting Wives?
Is that, I think that's what it's called? Yeah.
What are they hunting, animals?
They're hunting really hot girls that are having a lot of activity.
Interesting.
Girls with high school kids who are mommies. Like, everybody's talking about this show. Pure trash, pure entertainment.
Wow.
Crime, the whole thing.
Wow.
So that's something you may want to put on the red get Jackie registered. Maybe a co-viewing opportunity.
I mean, right? we did a flyby on the Howard Stern news that broke last night.
So
I
mean, is that
Sirius
official?
XM is canceling the Howard Stern show. It is official. It is all over right now. They have canceled the Howard Stern show.
Yeah, $500 million deals. He's been there 15 years. He signed three of those. So do the math. Some are saying it's the politics that alienated too many listeners. Others would say he's 71 years old.
Yeah.
Others would say you can't pay anybody $500 million. He brought a lot of people to Sirius. I don't think that stock does very well.
No, it doesn't. He's always talked about that on air.
Yeah, so that's big news. He'll come back and have his – he's always talking about whether he wants to renew or not. He's the biggest talent in radio history, whether you like him or not. And now that is over. Sirius Satellite will have to figure out another way.
I got into Stern big time when I was in college. I've been a Sirius XM subscriber for a long time, but I probably haven't listened in 8 to 10 years.
Is that just because he just
got away from what I enjoyed the most?
Right.
You know, obviously one of the greatest interviewers of all time.
Yeah, I mean, if you get away from the politics, just listen to the interviews, that's going to be hard, especially if you lean right because Howard's so far left. But again,
but even like the really outrageous comedy sketches that were just so on the line or over the line, to me, that was highly entertaining.
Well, yeah, I mean, he rewrote the radio landscape. There's never been anybody like him. He was on terrestrial radio and number one in every market.
I know,
New York, Chicago, Philadelphia. He was everywhere. Atlanta's the only market that he did not get syndicated. Here's our three strikes question. Georgia Tech announcing a whiteout for their Clemson game, which is week three, I believe, which is a noon start on the third weekend of the season, if I'm not mistaken. Your favorite uniform in all of sports.
Ooh, good question.
Favorite uniform. It doesn't have to – I didn't say the best uniform. Could be your favorite. So it could be the dogs coming out of the tunnel in a night game, right?
Yep.
With a certain combination of pant and jersey.
I tell you what, the Falcons throwback with the red helmets is very, very clean.
Your favorite uniform in all of sports. Your favorite selfie in your phone. You just showed us a selfie of you and Barkley. Where that guy doesn't even look like how young does Slim does he look, dude? How incredible, Barkley. Yeah, it looks like he's gone backwards 10-15
so
years.
So at that tournament, you know, there just comes a time and a point where I'm looking around. Everybody's so nice. I just said, you know what? I'm getting my phone out, and I just walked around and just got a bunch of selfies.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
No.
Good? Indifferent? Got to do it. Got to do it.
And the ESPN personality that you always enjoyed as ESPN signs his deal. I don't care if they were barely a reporter. You just enjoyed seeing them on there.
Maybe it was
a lead anchor, Patrick and Olbermann back in the day. Any ESPN personality that you always enjoyed. Did you see Jeff Passan go at it with Doug Minkowitz, I think it was, on Twitter? Minkowitz said something about Passan, talking about a guy that was traded at 2:30. He goes, now we get this genius essentially telling us that a 230 hitter had great value or blah, blah, blah. Jeff Passan goes, you were paid to hit a baseball. I could never do that, like you just mentioned. However, you're not paid for your brain, which is even more evident. And he just goes in hard, no holds barred against, and they go back and forth on Twitter. Jeff Passan does a good job.
Yeah, he does.
Mina Kimes does a great job. a couple of those NFL guys really enjoy. So an NFL, an ESPN personnel you always enjoyed, the favorite selfie you have in your phone, and what is your personal favorite uniform as all sports? Listen, the Hawks have done a phenomenal job over the years with their throwback unis. I mean, last year's was like the it was kind of purple-esque. You know, my wife says I'm colorblind, kind of. She wears this
the
Hawks.
City Connect uniform you're talking about?
Yes. Phenomenal. She had a jacket. Every single place she goes when she wears that jacket, somebody says something. So, favorite uniform in sports, selfie in your phone you love, the ES personality you always enjoyed. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Let's do our big game of the night brought to you by John Foy and Associates, I believe. Correct, Amundo. I don't know. I guess we got to talk about the best record in baseball is the Brewers. We're trying to beat them for one game, right?
Trying to beat just them. One.
Yeah.
Just
dude,
one.
It's a grind, dude. I have a
button. Are Braves fans done? Are they disinterested?
Well, that's obvious. I mean,
they're done.
When you say
are you going to see a big decline throughout August? You got to go all the way through September as well.
Yeah, of course.
Dude. I mean, the battery's going to get hurt.
And they're not even fielding. I mean, this is literally a AAA lineup.
It really is.
I mean, look at last night. And by the way, Jerkson Profar out there in the outfield, he's a disaster. Did you see that hit over his head last night? Completely misjudged it. That Jerkson Profar signing is such a hot mess right now. By the way, the matchup tonight.
It's actually on Fox Sports 1 tonight.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth. Yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot with the Braves record, although the Brewers have the best record in all of baseball. 404-726-0929. Talk about that as well. Obviously, the NFL stories that matter to you. Shedeur Sanders going to get the start.
It's important, you know. I mean, these are the opportunities that you get when you come into the NFL. You only get so few of them, so he's going to have a great chance to go show his word that he can command the offense. Again, so much more than just throwing the football or handing it off. How do you manage pre-snap? Are you getting guys in the right position? Are you managing the play clock? Situational football, if he goes into a two-minute or four-minute offense, that's what he's going to get evaluated on from the Browns, but also from 31 other teams across the National Football
League. If somebody hadn't been following that story and just popped back into the good old U.S. of A., and asked you, hey, Drew, can you explain to me why Shedeur Sanders plummeted to the fifth round? What's the very simple answer? Is there one?
Too much baggage is simply what I would say. I mean, I have no idea. I'm making an assumption. It doesn't make sense with the production that he had in the NFL, but
I mean,
maybe teams just did not want the extracurricular noise that was going to inevitably come with him, which is no fault of his own, really.
It really feels like the NFL owners and GMs got together. I mean, I know it's
I mean, Shadur's got the rap career, quote-unquote, but plenty of guys in the NFL do that stuff. So, like, that's not something that's uncommon.
Deion obviously turned folks off when he said, I'm only going to go to certain teams. The NFL.
Plenty
like,
of dads
adorable.
Do that. But
I
it's
know,
prime. It's but it's prime. Right? So, like, he moves the needle. And I think
is
good,
he gonna
bad,
even
or indifferent.
Get a chance to be Tom Brady and say, like, I have all these guys on my hit list, and I'm going to go be a star,
hey,
and I'll never forget having to wait five rounds.
Here's the beauty of the NFL. It is truly a meritocracy.
Right.
If you can play, you'll get your chance.
Right.
And if Shedeur can
and
play, he'll
means,
get his chance.
And listen to the way Brady said, he was the fifth string quarterback or fourth string. He was third string the year he took over and they won the Super Bowl. He started as a third stringer behind Bledsoe, and there were one or two other guys. He said, you have to treat every single snap.
It's so true.
You get 14 snaps in practice. You need to make those 14 snaps the most clean, pristine, absolutely on point of everything you ever do in your life. That's how you have to approach it. Same thing he said in Michigan. Which was like, listen, this is the only way that you're going to get another chance and another chance. Shedeur has to do that, certainly in the preseason game.
I'll throw Matt Ryan and I had a great conversation over the weekend, and it was about essentially that. He said one of my favorite sayings that I brought into every meeting room that I went to is TSVE, time spent, value extracted. Spend the time here. Let's extract the value together. Other than that, don't waste my time.
That's a great
don't waste my time.
That's a great message for a CEO or a manager.
Yeah.
You know, we always say grief versus gross. how much grief is this going to cause, and is it worth the gross that's coming on the other end of it? But that's another one. Like,
time spent, value extracted. Yeah, spend the time. Let's be intentional and get something out of it.
The time we're spending, we're not going to get enough value for it, so let's not spend time on that particular area. All right, let's play three strikes. Hey, Kareem, what is your favorite uniform in all of sports?
Big shout out to my boy Steak and Drew. How y'all doing, fellas?
What's up, Kareem?
What's up, fellas? I'm going to go with the 80s era Hawks, man. Neat, man. Something about them 80s era Hawks.
I like that.
The best selfie in your phone, your favorite.
Well, hey, man, I got one of me and Mitch McConnell. I don't know how you lean politically.
That is a random, unique one, bro.
All I can picture is that dude who does the Mitch McConnell imitation. Yeah, what's his name?
Matt Friend.
Matt Friend. Yeah.
Oh, he's so funny.
The ESPN personality you always enjoyed.
Big shout out to our girl, Hannah Storm, man. Westminster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Still making it happen. She has the Sunday Sports Center. Solid.
Her husband's Dan Hicks on NBC.
Does all the big tournaments.
Kareem with the Mitch McConnell shout out. That was not on the bingo card.
No. That's
phenomenal.
James in Kennesaw. Hey, James, what's your favorite uniform in all of sports?
I got to go with Drew and the Falcons throwback with the red helmet.
Oh, yeah.
What's the favorite selfie in your phone?
It's one of my middle son and my baby at the hospital when he was born. My middle son's making this silly face that middle kids always do.
That's perfect.
The ESPN personality you've always enjoyed.
Oh, RIP Stuart Scott.
Legend. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for the phone call. Anybody else, Bo? We got to rock and roll here, my friend. Oh, yeah. Hey, the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, pressure washing at the highest level. Am I seeing you Friday?
I'll be there Friday.
Friday,
are we here? Are we in studio?
No.
We're
finally back in studio. So not that I don't enjoy my 60-minute jaunt out here. Always nicer when it looks like today.
I must say, I mean, it literally feels like an October morning out here when it was 9 a.m.
Yeah. Now, this is a great day. So get out of work early. Go hit some tennis balls. Hit the pickleball court. Go to a driving range. Enjoy this is a tease, right?
Yes.
Get back to the 90s?
Yes.
Remember what opening day? I've been to some games in Athens where you're literally sitting out there in the sun side of the stadium.
Questioning everything.
I'm questioning why I'm not at Paloma, the sports bar up the street, right?
Absolutely.
Actually, usually I am. So thanks, Slim. Thanks, Bo. Thanks, everybody, for helping out. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your morning. Have a great one, everybody.